smell burn meat. It doesn't smell nice. Unless it's barbecued and marinated. They will not allow marinated meat. Because God wants a live sacrifice. How can you marinate a live lamb? By the time you bring it, it's dead. God wants a live sacrifice. While it's alive, you burn that creature. After you slaughter it. Of course. Chapter 4 and 5, the sin offering and then the trespass offering. Now, all five offerings are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your key is when God expresses that all five of them are involved, certain parts of the animals are involved in certain types of offering. He calls it the heave offering and the wave offering. So certain portions of the various sacrifices are taken and they will the priest will go before the altar, before the second veil, and the priest will wave it before the Lord. Sometimes the Lord says you will give it as a heave offering to the Lord. Doesn't this look very familiar to some of you? Doesn't look like Christianity, does it? But it's in the Bible. It's strange that the Bible has all these things. But it's not just the waving. Because if it's the waving, all you have to do is put an electric arm there and you keep waving. Behind it is a truth. When you give a heave offering, it goes this way. When you give a wave offering, it goes this way. It forms a cross. Behind all the sacrifices is the cross. God is pointing to the cross. Even in the Passover, you see the emblem of the cross. When they put the blood using the hyssop branch and place it on the doorpost. I'm not sure whether that was where the Catholics got it from. But they did that in the Old Testament, right? So it depends which style they do. If it was this style, you know, then it's quite familiar. So some may do this style. Right. Mm-hmm. However it was, the picture that the Bible was conveying was inside was the revelation of the cross. So having that understanding, as we approach it, we see that if we approach God at the five sacrifices, we start at the trespass offering. And always when God talks about how people have sinned unintentionally here in this passage here, or intentionally, or whichever way, and they fall into sin, they must give, whenever they give two offerings, one sin offering and a burnt offering, God always said, give the sin offering first. And then the burnt offering. Why? That means that unless your sins are covered, you cannot give a burnt offering at all. So the trespass offering talks about Jesus Christ dying for our sins. All our sins, our deeds, the wrong things, the wrong actions and deeds that we have done. He died for our sins. He has come to shed His precious blood to cleanse us from all sins. That's Romans 3:23. All men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if we deal only with sins, we still do not have the answer. Because all you have is your sins and your deeds, your trespasses forgiven. Your sin nature is not changed. So the second offering called from our approach, that is number 4 from God's side, but number 2 from our side, the sin offering deals with Jesus dying for our sin, S-I-N, singular. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says that Jesus Christ was made sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus died for our sins and for our sin. Sin nature and sin, which is necessary. Why, if all God does is just cleanse us from our sins, it will be no different from taking a little pig, and pigs love mud, and take that little pig and say, hey, piggy, 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 welcome into your HDB flat, which is illegal anyway, but for illustration, or into your house, wash it, scrub it with Amway, bright pink. Tie a little pink ribbon around the pig. Gets the pig to sit on the sofa and say, now listen, pig. I have washed you and I have cleansed you from your mud. Now listen, pig. Don't you ever be like a pig again. The moment you open the door, he go pew with all your nice little ribbons. Because although you have cleansed him from the mud, you have not removed that piggy nature. So Jesus had to die for our sins and our sin nature, little pig in us. And need to be crucified. I tell you, if God needs so many Chinese, you know, that he wants to write a Bible to, he mentioned about pigs. For us to identify with. We eat every part of the pig. Literally. And but the typology is important. That we have here, that there is the nature. God has to deal with our nature, sin nature, and our deeds, our sin. Only after these two are dealt with, you have the third approach from man's side to God. The peace offering. And the peace offering, the meal offering and the burnt offering are different from the other two. Here is the difference. Look at chapter 4 of Leviticus. When you look at sin offering, God says in verse 9, 10 and 11, when you read all these things, visualize. It says, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove as the priest's work. As it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering and the priest shall burn them on the altar, the burnt offering. Right? Everything looks the same like the peace offering, like the burnt offering, except verse 11. But, now the but comes. The bull's hide and all its flesh with its head and legs, its entrails. That is a nice way of putting its intestines. And offal. The whole bull, look at that, verse 12. The whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out and burn it out, burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. So the five offerings are divided into three and two. The first three are with sweet aroma, burnt offering, peace offering, and grain offering. The last two, sin offering and trespass offering, do not have an aroma. And the last two, sin offering and trespass offering, must be burned outside the camp. Says the priest must carry the bull out. That's why I believe in those days there were very few skinny priests. Okay, carrying a bull? Hard work. And in those days, it was very, very messy work. Can you imagine those offerings come every day? I could imagine every one of those priests who have been serving there, they look like those construction workers. They've been carrying hard work, hard tasks. You know? And every time they slaughter, you don't expect the lamb not to scream. Say, lamb, you're an offering, don't scream. No, they'll die, they'll scream. The blood will spill all over you. Then you have to put your hand in and feel for the kidneys. My God, how you going to tell me where the kidneys are? You slaughter an animal in front of me, I go, how do you tell where the kidneys are? You got to feel where the kidneys and separate the kidneys from the fat on top of it. All these great details, take out the intestine, it was messy work. on top of that, carry this bull out. You know? You probably be praying, if you were the priest, you have another reason for praying, people don't sin, so that they don't have so much work to carry out. Because whenever they have a sin offering and a trespass offering, they got to carry that bull all the way out of the camp. It's a long way to go. If there's a burnt offering, peace offering, you can just burn it there. Easier work for the priest too. So they're praying, oh God, don't let them sin. And so here we have that another verse that you can note here in chapter, looking at chapter 7, in verse 7, the trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. So that tells you that the trespass offering is similar to the sin offering. They have to take that animal and burn it outside camp. What is the law telling us? Remember, this is a picture in the Bible. Whenever you read the book of Leviticus, every verse that is symbolic there has a truth. You don't believe me? The Apostle Paul took the attitude. He said, no, this is too, you're spiritualizing it too much. Paul himself says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe in verse 9, he says, the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. And then Paul turns around and says, do you think God is just concerned about the ox? God, and Paul says, no, there is a truth there. He was talking about ministers. See, there was a spiritual truth, and he compared that to the ministers who minister the gospel. They live by the gospel. So don't muzzle the ox, as the ox is treading the grain. So there are spiritual truths in the Bible. And these are some of those truths. The picture of the stew offering is that God wants to remove sin and sins outside the camp. He does not permit it in the tabernacle of Moses. Says, take it outside the camp. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to redeem us from sins and the sin nature. Christianity has moved through different angles and different waves and of emphasis. Some Christians believe that you can never be free from sin. If you don't believe you can ever be free from sin, the only question is, Why did Jesus die for? That we were continuing sin? Look at the epistles of Paul. He emphasized, do not sin, don't sin, don't fall, don't go into temptation, don't sin. Are all those things not true? Is he just making it up, or is it possible and real that Jesus Christ of Nazareth has redeemed us from sin nature? I tell you, over a few hundred years ago, men of God believe in perfect sanctification. But somehow through time we lose that truth. We compromise. If you aim to pass, you may just pass or fail. If you aim for distinction, you may get distinction or just below that. So if the church is aiming, saying, oh, we can never be fully free from sin, no wonder it's always there in sin. See, even though you may say, oh brother, no, show me, where? Jesus is our example. Although we may not manifest it perfectly and live a perfect life, we must believe it is possible.